Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the show on a one-time basis, support.greatdetectives.net, or become one of our Patreon supporters at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Nightbeat. The original air date, May the 15th of 1952, and the title is The Death of Riley.
NBC presents, transcribed, Frank Lovejoy in...
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Chicago Star. Sometimes the stories of the night have their beginnings on the day side. This one did. It was less than a dozen hastily written words on a piece of paper when I first saw it. My city editor Farley's words, all black and white in the light of day. It took the night to add the color and the shadings to give them perspective and make them come alive. It wasn't quite 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but the lights on Michigan Avenue were on. And I was going to work with Farley's words folded in an inside pocket. Specifically, I was on my way to meet a man named Riley Johnson. More specifically, Mr. Johnson owned a small plastics manufacturing plant on the south side. Most specifically, Mr. Johnson was giving the plant to his employees. I haven't met a real live humanitarian in weeks. This I had to see.
Yes, can I help you?
I'm Randy Stone, Chicago Star. I'd like to see Mr. Johnson.
Well, he's busy at the moment, Mr. Stone.
Can I wait?
Yes, if you like. Have a chair.
Thank you.
News travels fast, doesn't it?
That's what everybody says. How does it feel to be an owner?
Oh, I wouldn't want to be quoted, Mr. Stone. I really have no opinion at all.
A guy hands over a business to you and you have no opinion? That's almost a story in itself.
I think it's up to Mr. Johnson to make statements to the press.
Ah, you see, you do have an opinion.
Hey, Edie, can I see Johnson?
I'm afraid it'll be a while. This gentleman's waiting. This is Mr. Stone, Mr. Guthrie.
All right.
How do you do?
Mr. Guthrie's our plant foreman. Mr. Stone's a newspaper reporter, Jim.
Oh, you Randy Stone?
That's right.
I'll see if Mr. Johnson can see you now.
Thank you.
Yeah, I read your column every once in a while, Stone. I like it.
Well, so do I, every once in a while.
What are you going to write about Johnson?
I don't know yet. Got any suggestions?
Plenty, but you couldn't print any of them. You know?
No, no. Man gives plant to employees like man bites dog. That's news.
Stick around. He may bite a dog, too. I don't trust him. I don't figure his angle yet, but I'll bet he's got one. I'll bet it's a Lulu.
Well, good luck, Stone.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson will see you now, Mr. Stone.
Fine. I'm Randy Stone, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, I know. Sit down. Close the door, too. Not that she'll miss anything.
He didn't look up when I came in. Riley Johnson was drunk from years of drinking. His florid face was all puffed, the pink flesh stretched tightly across it. The gaze he finally directed at me was fluid and colorless.
Now let's get each other pegged right from the start, Stone. If you expected a wide-eyed visionary, you could save yourself a trip.
Well, it's too late to save the trip. I understand you're giving your plant to your employees.
I already have. Everything signed over. And get this. I'm no philanthropist, so don't be writing any fine motives into it.
Well, haven't written anything into it yet.
Just cut out all the humanitarian stuff out of it and get the facts straight. I'm just giving them one big headache back for the many little ones they've given me. Let them try to run it. All the little people working together for their common good. They'll murder each other.
You could have sold the plant and saved all those lives.
I'd have sold it. I could have kept enough money to matter. Kill themselves. One of their inalienable rights. Empty. There goes a nice kid. Well, that's it. That's your story. Take it or leave it.
I bet you've got some cozy plans for your retirement.
Yeah. I'm going to get drunk. You going back uptown?
Yeah.
I'll hook a ride. I can't drive a car. I'm a menace. Ask anybody.
I'll take your word for it. He hooked the ride as far as a walk down a fight and save saloon. Before the night was over, I tried to write the story about Riley Johnson. No humanitarian stuff, just facts. And leaving out the undertones, the things Guthrie said, the things Edie didn't say, it became a simple one-line story. Riley Johnson, Southside Plastics manufacturer, gave his plant to his employees yesterday. I went to bed at dawn still wondering who was giving who the business. Oh, dear. Yeah.
I'm afraid I've awakened you, Mr. Stone.
Yeah, I'm afraid you have. Who is this?
I'm Edie. At the plastics plant, remember?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I hate to bother you with this, but have you seen Mr. Johnson recently?
Well, recently, I've been asleep. Last time I saw him, he was doing a half gainer into a basement bar and grill, but that was 12 hours or so ago.
You must mean the foxhole.
Might have been a foxhole, I don't know. On South Shore Drive?
Yeah, that's the one. I've called there. That is, I kept calling until it closed around 3. Tincher, he's the bartender, said he left there the middle of last evening.
Maybe Tincher knows. I don't.
Mr. Johnson's a sick man, Mr. Stone. His drinking, it's an illness with him. I'm very worried about him.
Yeah, well, maybe he's worth worrying about, but I'm...
I'd be apt to think he was, Mr. Stone. He's my husband.
Oh, I didn't know.
I don't think Riley knows anymore either.
He didn't come home last night, then?
He hasn't been home in years. That's not important right now. I have to locate him, that's all. Guthrie says the employees, that is, the people here at the plant, are planning some sort of farewell party or something here today, and, well, he ought to be here.
Yeah, well, the chances aren't good that I'll run into him anywhere, but if I do, I'll give you a call.
I'd be very grateful. I'll be a plant all day. And I'm really sorry about waking you, but it is morning.
That's all right. I'll get back to sleep, okay. I dreamt a lot, and it was a big dream about getting back to sleep in the daytime. Edie's call at 7:30 a.m. was some sort of psychic cue for the kid across the hall to get a toothache and yowl his head off. This touched off a chain reaction. By noon, I threw in the towel and took my curled lip and jaundiced eyes out in search of food. Curiosity took me all the way to the foxhole, dark and musty and open for business.
Well, Riley will be back. Yeah, he's never very far away from here. This place says home sweet home to him. How's the egg, huh?
You're a better bartender.
That's good. I wouldn't want this trap to get a reputation for fine food, you know? It classes up the clientele.
Well, you can't have that.
No.
You seem pretty sure Riley will be back.
Oh, sure. He had a hat full of dough last night. I relieved him of most of it. When he knows what he's doing, I'll give it back.
Hey, you know him pretty well. What's he trying to prove?
Boozing? Well, I don't know. He sure don't like it sober. He'll talk okay, but not about himself, you know.
How about Edie, his wife? You talk about her?
Never heard him mention her. Oh, I know her, all right. I know who she is, anyway. Never seen her. But she calls pretty often. You're funny, too, what gets into dames, huh?
Her name, anything.
All she ever wants to know is he okay? She even gave me his doc's phone number. I call him when Riley pulls his fold act. You want another egg? Huh?
Not till Easter. Riley folds a lot?
All the time. Every time the doc says this is it, he can't take any more, but Riley keeps blasting away at the bottle. He don't care, but oh, she does. She's one of those, there's good in everyone dames, you know? Real kind. For this, he don't come home ever.
You're wrong, Titcher. He's home now.
Well, well, well. Boy Oracle.
Hiya, Johnson.
Well, make a move, didn't
you? Oh, sure. Why not?
I got a message for you, Johnson. They're planning something for you at the plant today. Maybe you ought to show up, take a few bows.
You ever read the kind of bills the boy Oracle here writes, didn't you?
Now, take it easy, Riley.
Full of big talk about the little people. The little people with their big hearts. And the big people with little hearts. Oh, cockeyed world is full of do-gooders, cheek-turners. Let's all get together and smile through our tears. Love will find a way.
What do I owe you, Tincher?
85. Thanks.
Well, it's been fun. Can I use the phone?
Well, help yourself. It's over there.
Riley slipped and fallen from the glory road. Let's all help him back on his feet. All the Edies and the boy Oracles and the rest of the night.
Johnson's Plastics Company.
Oh, Edie, it's Randy Stone.
Oh, Mr. Stone. I haven't found Riley yet. I'm just beside myself.
Well, he's at his natural habitat, the foxhole.
Oh, thank God. Is he all right?
Well, I wouldn't plan on him showing up at the plant.
Oh, I see. Well, I guess I didn't really expect him. Thanks, Mr. Stone. Thanks for calling, anyway.
Sure. Bye, Edie.
Goodbye.
This was the second time I'd left Riley at the foxhole. It got easier every time. Outside, the sun shone and life went on. I knew the real story was all the things I didn't know about Riley and Edie. Maybe I'd never know them. Right then, they didn't seem important. I say right then because a couple of hours later, when I checked in at the paper, all the things I didn't know became very important. Riley Johnson's employee-owned plastics plant blew up right in their faces. It was still smoldering and still burning, but under control when I got there. I found the fire captain over by a pile of rubble.
Happened right around 1 o'clock. About half the employees were out to lunch.
The rest of them?
Took them to the Mercy Hospital. We're pretty sure we got them all out.
Was anyone killed?
Oh, not outright. One woman's supposed to be in the worst shape. Wife of the owner, according to a couple of workers.
Edie Johnson?
Johnson, yeah, I think that's the name.
I don't suppose you know yet if it was an accident or not.
The arson boys are checking. We ought to know before too long.
Well, if someone blew it, they did a real thorough job.
Yeah, kind of complete.
The fireworks, Stone.
Oh. Guthrie. Hey, you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Lucky, too, the doc says these are just superficial. I'm walking along, and all of a sudden I'm not walking. Feels like a truck hit me in the back. Then I wake up, the darn thing blew me clean out of the plant. Ever hear of such a lucky thing?
Well, that much is good, Guthrie. I understand that Edie's pretty bad off.
Bad off? Yeah, I guess you could call it bad off. Told you Riley had an angle. Edie's blind.
NBC is bringing you Nightbeat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone. Loyal Americans have always stood behind our fighting forces through all the years of our country's history. Whatever the need, the folks in the home front have always responded generously. Today, the need is for blood donations for members of our armed forces in Korea. The prompt use of blood plasma on the battlefield and whole blood in military hospitals saves the lives of many casualties. General Matthew B. Ridgway, Commander-in-Chief of the United Nations Command, has said, "Every American who has given blood can and should feel he personally has contributed directly to the saving of the life of an American boy." Today, with the reserve of blood plasma virtually exhausted by GI requirements, an emergency exists. The Department of Defense is calling for an immediate stepping up of blood collections. This is an opportunity for you to have a part in this program, a program vital to our fighting men in Korea. Call your Red Cross chapter or local blood donor center for an appointment to make your donation of blood for the armed forces. All types of blood are needed. And now, back to Nightbeat and Randy Stone.
Guthrie swallowed hard and looked away. After a while, he began pushing at the bandage on his arm, a little too hard because it hurt him.
Isn't that a rotten break? Edie, of all the people in the world.
Yeah, that's rough. That's real rough.
She used her eyes. Really used them to see good when nobody else could see it. You don't know her, Stone. She's the greatest.
Everyone seems to think so.
If she'd only set up a beef about it, build a case for herself, I'd almost feel better about it. But she won't. She'll take it. Just like she's taken every raw deal she's had. And all her raw deals begin and end with the same loss.
I talked to the fire captain. They'll know in a while if it was an accident.
I don't think it was. This whole deal smells like Riley. He'd hand you something that was loaded.
Well, he might. But even if they find out the blast was planned, it doesn't mean that it was Riley.
Smitty, building a case for Riley?
No, why should I? I don't know him well enough to build him a drink, even.
Nobody knows him, except Dee Dee.
And she loves him.
Yeah, she does. How could she?
Edie's the only one who can answer that.
Oh, I've asked her lots of times. She knows I love her.
Did you expect Riley at the plant this morning?
Yeah, he was supposed to be there. We planned a little thing in his honor.
A little thing like an explosion?
Look, there are simpler ways to get rid of him, Stone. I wouldn't blow up a plant full of people to get to him.
No, I don't think you would. Any more than I think Riley would blow it up to get to Edie.
Unless he was after more than Edie. Huh, Stone?
It wasn't far from the Mercy Hospital to the foxhole. I figured somebody ought to tell Riley, just in case he didn't know about Edie, and just in case he'd care. Tincher was half seated on a bar stool, and at first I thought he was all alone, until he nodded across the room. Riley was lying flat, fit to the curve of a booth, and a man was bending over it.
He pulled a real fold this time.
His doc?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been working over him quite a while. I don't know how you keep a guy from taking on such a load. If I didn't let him have it, he'd get it somewhere else. A guy don't know what to do.
When did it happen?
Well, not long after you left. He just ups and keels over. Had a devil of a time locating the doc, too.
I think you better locate an ambulance, Tincher. Might as well get him to a hospital.
Yeah, okay. Oh, Doc, this is Randy Stone. He knows Riley.
I don't think you'll know him much longer, Stone.
This is the last one, huh?
Yeah, looks like it.
You think he'll come around at all?
He might. He's fooled me before.
Yeah, I know. Might have a good reason to fool you this time. Look, I don't know what it'll mean to him or... if you can tell him even, but there was an explosion at his plant. And his wife is the worst off. She's blind.
Where is she?
Mercy Hospital.
That's where I'm taking him. I'm on staff there. Yeah, sure, I'll tell him. If I get the chance.
I get nothing but busy signals, Doc. Maybe there's a run on ambulances right now, huh?
Well, what's that? We can't wait for one.
I give you a hand, Doc?
Yeah, in the back seat if your car's got one. I'm in a coupe.
The doc took over when we got to Mercy Hospital. I took one more look at Riley as they wheeled him into the room. His face wasn't puffed and pink anymore. It was gray and very old. Edie and Riley were just a few doors apart now. It was hard to imagine they'd ever been closer. I wondered about them as man and wife, what kind of life they'd shared. Riley, a guy so bent on his own destruction, he wanted to destroy everything around him. Guthrie, a third part to a triangle, or was there more to it than that? And Tincher, could he have an angle? How did these people relate to each other, really? Who was the heavy? I didn't know. I called the fire captain I talked to earlier. No report from the arson investigators. He said he'd call me at the hospital when he got word. I waited outside Riley's room for the doc.
Oh, Stone, I hoped you were still here. Riley's come around. He wants to talk to you.
Did you tell him about Edie?
Yes, I did. Go on, go in there for a minute or two.
Will he make it, Doc?
I had a chance, and he knows it. I'll be back. I have to check something.
Okay, Doc. Hello, Riley.
Boy, Oracle. I'm in a fine fix. You're the best I can come up with.
The doc said you wanted to see me.
I never wanted to see you. Right now, I don't have much choice. Maybe I should have made a friend along the way. Believe me, if I had a friend, I wouldn't be asking for you.
Okay, so we're real pals. Now, what do you want, a friendship ring?
Find that lousy Tincher. Tell him he didn't put a thing over on me. He never could, and he never did.
I got it. I suppose you'll understand.
I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. Understand? He should. He's not satisfied that I practically kept him in business with my regrettable taste for whiskey. Got to steal me blind.
I'll tell him.
Thought I wouldn't remember. I remember plenty. Plenty. I had a fistful of dough last night. Thinks I don't know. He took it. Just tell him I know, that's all.
He's told me about your dough, Riley.
What does that prove? He's one of your little people, I suppose, with a big fat heart. Brother, you don't know anything about people. Not anything.
You said you had a couple messages, Riley.
Yeah. I did, didn't I? Well, the other one's for you. Get out.
Yeah, sure. Oh. Hi, Doc.
How is he?
Oh, he's normal, I guess. He doesn't change much in my book.
Stick around, will you? I want to see him, and then I'd like to talk to you.
Yeah, I'll be around. I'll go down to the drugstore and get some coffee. The first cup of coffee did nothing for the tight knot I was using for a stomach. I wanted a phone call from the fire captain to point the blame for the explosion. I couldn't figure Riley. Did he fold because he couldn't handle any more alcohol? Or because he couldn't blow up a place without having a reaction to it? I stayed with the coffee, but it didn't produce any answers.
I tried to see him, but they wouldn't let me in.
Sit down, Tincher. The doc will be down in a little while.
I just locked up and came over.
Have some coffee.
Oh, no, thanks. I didn't know what else to do. I got these flowers. Then I forgot to give them to the nurse. Silly, I guess, huh? Flowers. Huh?
Why beat yourself? The flowers are fine.
You know something? Hospitals sort of make me crawl. I get nervous just walking in the door. I don't know. Everything's so clean, smells clean. Funny, I got nothing against being clean, but it gets me, you know?
Yeah, it seems a little impersonal, but I guess it isn't.
Yeah, well, oh, golly, I almost forgot. Riley's dough. I want to get it back to him, see? Remember I told you I took it off him last night?
Yeah, yes, I remember.
Well, you'll give it to him, will you? You're going to see the doc, huh? Oh, give him the dough and the flowers, too, huh?
Sure, that's the way you want it.
Yeah. Tell Riley I'll be back when he's feeling better.
I'll tell him.
See you.
Okay. It was beginning to get me, too. I paid for the coffee, scooped up the fat wad of money and the thin bunch of flowers, and went back up to Riley's floor. The nurse at the desk took the flowers and told me that Edie was about the same, whatever that meant. That's when the doc came out of Riley's room and motioned me down to the waiting room.
Got a cigarette, Stone?
Well, sure. Here.
Thanks. Well, he's dead.
Well, Tincher will feel bad, I guess.
I think Riley thought as much of Tincher as he did anyone.
Oh, yes, he thought Tincher was great. That's why he wanted to see me, to tell me the barkeep had stolen his money from him. Here's the roll. Tincher brought it. He just took it to keep Riley from throwing it around.
Yeah, I know. Tincher's all right. I'll give the money to Edie.
Yeah. What kind of a guy was that, Doc? I've seen a lot of guys go out. A lot of bums, too. I never saw one who didn't go a little soft at the end. This guy goes still spouting his hate and yakking about a friend who conned him, he says.
There's much doubt about Riley's character. He's a long way from the Good Samaritan. You knew him a day. I've known him for 10 years.
I'd like to know what made Riley run.
The answer isn't very simple, but I'll simplify it. 5 years ago, Riley Johnson was a regulation sort of a guy, no stronger, no weaker than most. You can't measure what the brain men call moral fiber. But it's safe to assume Riley had his share until he got kicked over.
And who did the kicking?
Edie.
Edie?
Yeah, she's all sweetness and light, unless you happen to know her, which I do. I could tell you a lot of things about Edie, none of them very savory. But mostly, she doesn't like a man. She likes men. Parades of them.
Like, maybe Guthrie?
Well, he's one of them for now. It goes on. Riley couldn't take it, so he left. Made friends with a bottle. And that's it.
Oh, that's great.
Telephone call for Mr. Randy Stone. Come to the second floor desk, please.
Wait here, will you, Doc?
Oh, sure.
Hello, it's Randy Stone.
Oh, yeah, Stone. You wanted the report from the arson boys. Just came in.
Well, what's the verdict?
Clogged gas line to one of the burners. It's been backing up gas for who knows how long. Long enough to blow up, anyway.
You're calling it an accident, then?
That's right. That's all it was, just an accident.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks, Cap. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Bye.
Bye. Now, that was the fire captain, Doc. The explosion at the plant was an accident.
I'm glad it wasn't Riley.
Yeah, I guess I am, too. Lovely little vignette, isn't it? The Johnson story. Riley's dead. Edie's blind.
No, not long, she isn't. They do some big things now, you know. They can transfer the cornea from healthy eyes to bad ones.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know, but...
Edie will see again. With Riley's eyes.
He did that?
Last thing he did. Told me to tell her to take a good look at herself.
It wasn't quite 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but the lights on Michigan Avenue were on. The traffic was taking on that rush hour look, and most of Chicago was getting ready to call it a day. Another day was giving way to another darker night. This was where I came in just 24 hours before. I still had the slip of paper Farley had given me, and it read, Riley Johnson, Linton Avenue, South Side, giving plant to employees. Might be a story. Yes, Farley, it was a story. Copy, boy.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis. Tonight's transcribed story was written by Kathleen Height, with music by Robert Armbruster. Featured in tonight's cast were Ed Begley, Gene Bates, Paul Fries, Sidney Miller, and Shep Minken. Listen next week at this time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness. Beat came to you from Hollywood. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Friday, enjoy sparkling comedy and musical variety with Inside Bob and Ray. And for pictures of Bob and Ray, the winners of radio's coveted Peabody Award, be sure to get this week's issue of Life magazine. Tomorrow evening, enjoy Western Song and Adventure on The Roy Rogers Show. You'll hear another story from the Double R Bar Ranch in Paradise Valley. Also tomorrow evening, The Mario Lanza Show stars Mario Lanza and Lisa Kirk in 30 minutes of your favorite songs. Dragnet, Authentic Adventure is next on NBC.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Of course, the title for this episode is a play on the saying, Living the Life of Riley. And of course, there had been a very popular sitcom, The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix, that had aired on radio and would come to television with Bendix. Some contract issues were worked out. In terms of this episode, it wasn't bad, but it was a bit of a downer and a little bit less engaging than many of the other ones. Essentially, we're listening to the final destruction of a human derelict. And he's at the point, even at the start of the story, where he's pretty much on an unstoppable course. While Night Beat can be heavy, this felt a little too heavy. And maybe with very few hints of any nuance in the Riley character till we get to the end of the story and we hear about that secondhand from the doctor. And it is a good point. If you know someone for one day, you don't necessarily know their whole story. All right, well, listener comments and feedback now. And Stephen says, I've been wanting to comment for a few weeks. I listened to Night Beat in the early 80s and really enjoyed it. While I enjoy almost all the detective shows you play, Night Beat is right at the top. The first few shows actually disappointed me, but the last several weeks have been Night Beat and Randy Stone at their best. The rabid dog, the boy held hostage in the church tower, the general trying to kill them, the couple on their last honeymoon, and the gambler standoff in episode 2243 are fantastic shows. I'm not sure any show did better than those. I'm disappointed that there are so many missing episodes. Is there any hope of their being discovered? Keep up the good work. Well, Stephen, thanks for your comment. In regards to the question of whether there's any hope, I would say there's as much hope for Night Beat as there is for any radio program. In many ways, it's surprising that there are so many lost episodes of these NBC series, since they were done nationwide and they were done by transcription disc. And by logic, you'd think the more transcription disc out there, the more chance that somebody has one of these missing discs. But I've been following this very closely for the past 8 years, and I think that the only new episodes to come into circulation, there were a few episodes of The Abbots. It used to be that there were only 8 episodes circulating. Now there are 16. And then there was an episode of Easy Money that came into circulation. But other than that, these NBC shows that were transcribed generally have the same number of available episodes as they've had when I started 8 years ago. So there's always a chance, and it's a nice surprise when we find programs that were not circulating and now we can play them, as we did last year with Pursuit and Pat Novak for Hire, Jeff Regan and Let George Do It, and as we'll be doing with other shows this next season. The only shows that there's no hope of us finding additional episodes are those for which we have all the episodes. I hope that answers your question. We just don't really know what still might be circulating somewhere. Though we'll probably be getting to the point in the next few years where new episodes coming into circulation will become rarer and rarer. But thanks so much for your comments, Stephen. And then we have an email from Bishop Andrew, who writes in regarding the 4-star Playhouse TV episode with Nightbeat. I really enjoyed the Nightbeat episode, though I agree with you that it would not encourage anyone to pick it up as a series. I like the play between Randy and the Diver. Well played. 4-Star Theater was the first project of 4-Star International. The name of the company changed a bit, but it produced some good programs in the 50s and 60s. Wikipedia has a good article on the company if you're interested. Thanks so much for sharing, and we've played some 4-Star productions before. Michael Shane, back when we were doing unhosted video theater. And also, there was an episode of Burke's Law that had entered the public domain. But they did produce some great programs in the 50s and 60s. Burke's Law, Honey West, The Detectives are probably some of their main detective series. But they also did a lot of westerns. There was the Zane Grey Theater and, of course, The Rifleman, Wanted Dead or Alive, and Big Valley. And Dick Powell had his hands in a lot of these series. He was one of the owners of the company. And while he still acted, a lot of his focus in his later years was on behind-the-camera work. Thanks so much for the email, and that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Rocky Fortune. And then next Monday, it's another episode of Nightbeat. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.